It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 149 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. And today we're going to be talking all about Force powers.
Yeah, we decided we wanted to start a new series where we really started to look into the design of X-Wing 2nd Edition. And so we thought we'd start this thing, the Design Spotlight, where each time we do one of these episodes, we're going to look at a specific area, probably a specific set of cards in X-Wing 2nd Edition, break down the design, the themes we're seeing from those cards, and from time to time, we might actually revisit the same set of cards as new things get released into 2nd Edition.
Right. This is sort of returning on one of our old themes that was really popular when we talked about 1st Edition, going through the design. Obviously, the game's changed. The design has changed a lot, so definitely worth re-examining these topics. And of course, the topic we're starting with didn't even exist a year ago.
Yeah, so we're going to be focusing on Force power upgrade cards. We're going to be talking about how we see the design, how it's been represented in 2nd Edition, both mechanically and thematically, and really just dive into this specific area of the game, which I think brings up a lot of interesting discussion.
Yeah, my supernatural heightened sense says we should just get on with it and dive in. All right, so Tim, we're beginning our Design Spotlight series talking about the Force powers upgrade cards.
Yeah, and I think when we start talking about Force power upgrades, we got to go back a little bit and just talk about specifically how the Force was introduced into X-Wing 2nd Edition. So in X-Wing 2nd Edition, the Force was a new mechanic that was introduced. Certain pilots have Force ratings, usually a value between 1 to 3. And that gives them a certain number of charges. They get a charge back at the end of each round, and they can use these charges regardless of what arrangement of upgrades they have. They can always spend one or more charges to change a single focus result into either an evade result or a hit result.
Right, and then on top of having force charges, they also all have access to the force power upgrades, which generally give them some sort of alternative ways to spend their force charges. Or in a rare exception, an additional way to regain a force charge.
And for the pilots that do have force ratings and have access to the force upgrade slot, oftentimes, with a couple exceptions, but a lot of the ones you see are going to be named characters that are really famous from the movies. We're talking Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, Kanan Jarrus, a lot of the iconic Star Wars characters who have access to the force. And when that's represented on the pilot side, right now, without exception, all of them have access to the force power slot, which is in lieu of the standard talent slot that we normally see at pilots of these calibers.
Right, and this is a both flavorfully and mechanical way to separate these Force users from the normal pilots, where what makes a Force user pilot unique isn't really their, you know, general flying skills, but their ability to access the Force while flying and manifest that in unique ways.
And having a force rating on its own has proven to be a pretty powerful game mechanic. The ships that can use these effectively, from what we've seen competitively, it's a really huge asset there, even if they're not using the force powers for any other abilities. And you'll often see this represented in the cost of cards. And the developers were really cautious when costing out the force ability because it actually has proven to be pretty powerful. We see even in cases where the force using pilot has a lower initiative than another pilot in the same ship, they'll often see the force user cost substantially more. A good example of this would be Luke Skywalker at initiative 5 costing quite a bit more than the initiative 6 Wedge Antilles, even though they're both T-65 X-Wing pilots.
Right, and the costing around force users and these force power upgrades has been really interesting. Both were pretty conservatively costed with the release. It's a new mechanic, a very clearly powerful mechanic having access to those force charges. So force users are all pretty expensive point cost for pilots. And the force power upgrade slots are all pretty expensive as well. And this is why we thought this would be a great time to talk about this along with listener Tim Sturm, who also thought this would be a great time for us to talk about these force powers because, you know, come this Monday, we will have the first points rebalancing. And so we might see some changes to both the Force users and Force powers now that the developers have been given some time to see how all these effects work in the wild.
And I think some rebalancing is necessary because, with the pretty notable exception of the Supernatural Reflexes Force Power upgrade, we don't see a lot of these Force Powers come into play competitively. We'll actually dive into that more specifically in a little bit, why we maybe think that is. But it will be interesting to see where the adjustments come, if we're going to see reduced cost in some of the Force upgrades, or if we're going to see raised or lowered costs for specific Force-sensitive pilots.
Right, and I think from my perspective, I can see the Force power upgrades going down a lot more than the Force pilots. That inherent Force charge is very powerful and I think should be costed respectively. But the Force power upgrades generally give you a different way to spend that Force charge. And I think you have to keep in mind that the cost of using these upgrades is more than just that points cost. It means you're not going to have that Force charge for modification as well.
So let's dive into the design of Force power upgrades specifically, now that we've kind of got our baseline there for the pilots. When I look at upgrade cards on the whole, there's kind of a dividing line between two categories of upgrades. You've got, I guess, what I'd call the more mechanical upgrades, which are upgrade cards that thematically represent modifications to the ship, which could be new equipment, different configurations, ordnance, all that stuff. And then you have the more, I don't know if you call them character focused upgrade cards. We're talking things like the Force power upgrades. We're talking about talent upgrades, and then things like crew cards and gunner cards, where those are not so much tied to the ship specifically, but they're more tied to the characters that are being played. And there actually is a pretty distinct divide in the way those cards are designed, where we see, I think, a lot more diversity in the abilities from the more character focused upgrade cards. Force powers and talents in particular have a pretty wide arrangement of abilities. Whereas when you go look at things like munitions, even though different munitions have different effects, they all have very similar ways they function.
Right, but then even when you look within force powers, comparing them to talent upgrades, there is quite a bit of mechanical difference. Talent upgrades tend to fit well within the general rule structure of the game. You know, they often provide just modification effects or adding or subtracting dice you're going to roll. But force powers tend to provide a bit more unique effects that let you do something outside of the normal structure of the game.
And force powers and talent upgrades, I think, are kind of, I don't know if you'd call them sibling cards or sister cards or something, where they kind of fulfill the same role, but they execute that in different ways, kind of like you're saying. And this is apart from even crew cards or gunner cards. Both of these represent the abilities of the pilot flying a ship and don't refer to the mechanics of the ship at all. But again, like you're saying, you do see a clear divide there between force powers being things that are exceptions generally to the game rules, whereas talent upgrades generally work within the game rules, tweaking them slightly.
Right. So, you know, something a pilot can be good at is, you know, being good at shooting down other ships. And so there can be a talent and a force power that both represent this. On the talent side, we could look at a card like Predator that gives a ship a ability to reroll an attack die when you have your opponent within your bullseye firing arc. This is a pretty good mechanical representation, you know, showing that, you know, your pilot is skilled at firing at their opponent. They have good aim. A force power that gets at the same concept is Instinctive Aim, which allows you to spend a force charge to ignore the normal attack requirements of a munition.
And I think the Predator versus Instinctive Aim is a good comparison here, because you can see a really good example of what we're talking about. On the talent side, the Predator card works in a really mechanical way. So you just have to line up that bullseye. If a ship's in the bullseye, you get some good but relatively slight modification. Rerolling one
just
die,
just like blasting Womp Rats.
Yeah. Rerolling one die is not an overwhelmingly powerful ability, but it comes in at a pretty cheap cost. And it's relatively hard to execute. It goes a lot on the player to line that up. Whereas over on the Force side, you really are showing off thematically the exceptional nature of a Force user, where Instinctive Aim helps you attack, but it does so with far less restriction. Since you're using the Force, there's a lot more possibility there. So you're able to ignore those normal target lock or focus requirements on a secondary weapon card. And that's not going to have as stringent a limitation as Predator, even though right now they come in at very similar point costs.
Right. One gives you a slight mechanical advantage, and one allows you to approach the game in a very different perspective.
So we see the dividing line. We see how force powers are set apart. Now, it's actually kind of hard to give some examples right now because the selection of force power upgrades is far more limited than the available selection of talent upgrades right now. We are already starting to see more force upgrades roll out with the release of the First Order. But even right now, there's only a handful of cards that force users can choose from, versus any ship with the talent option has a huge selection of pretty varied cards to pick from.
Right, but that's also generally representative of, you know, how many force users there are compared to how many normal pilots. You know, most factions just have, you know, a couple of force users per faction, you know, with the big exception of the Galactic Republic coming out soon. That looks to be, you know, the force user faction with all of your Jedis and Jedi starfighters. So hopefully we see a few more force upgrades to go along with that.
Yeah, and I actually think this would be a good point to talk about some of the challenge that force powers present in the game right now. They're, like we said before, they're really not that popular. With the huge exception of supernatural reflexes, the other force talents you're not going to see a lot at competitive games. And there are some pretty good reasons for that right now. Obviously, like you're saying, Carson, we're going to see hopefully the release of a much more force-focused faction in the future, which hopefully will bring with it a lot more force options. But as it stands right now, the available force power upgrades that you can get, they just don't hold up well under scrutiny.
Right, and I kind of mentioned it a bit earlier, but the big thing for a force power is that it makes you use your force charge in a way that's really not optimal. Usually the best use of your force charge is just modifying your die results. I mean, yes, these unique game effects are very cool, but to turn down, you know, all of your modification just to set that up is not very helpful, especially when you spent so many points to get access to that enhanced modification.
This actually makes me think of an example from when I first was toying around with second edition right after launch there. I was really excited about the Grand Inquisitor in the TIE Advanced prototype. And of course, this is a force user with two force charges and an innate pilot ability to spend those force charges. Either you can spend one to roll an extra attack die when attacking, or spend one to cancel a range one bonus. I was excited about the game trying new things out, so I actually threw the Sense force power upgrade on there. That, of course, allows you, during the system phase, you can choose a ship at range 0 to 1 and look at its dial, or if you spend a force charge, you may choose a ship at range 0 to 3 instead. So this seemed like a really strong combo, but it quickly taught me one of the important lessons about the force in second edition, is that you only get one force charge back a turn, and if that's a resource you're depending on for modification, you really want to be cautious about how you spend those force charges. Because I almost immediately found myself in a scenario where I so often was spending one with the Grand Inquisitor to roll an extra attack die, and then usually another one to modify that attack roll. Either I didn't have enough charges left to really use that sensibility to its full potential, or if I did use the sensibility, I found myself without the modification I wanted to have from that force rating.
Right, and that's why, you know, Luke Skywalker stands out as a great force pilot, because his pilot ability gives him a unique way to regain force charges, which is substantially more powerful than any alternative way to spend your force charges. I mean, the Inquisitor, you get to roll extra dice. Vader, you get extra actions. These are all great effects, but these ships can quickly burn through all their force charges. And then you don't really get any of those effects or modification.
Yeah, in a weird way, the ships that right now most effectively use the Force are ships that kind of find exceptions to the rules. Obviously, Luke's a great example of that, being able to get those charges back as needed. You also see ships like Kylo Ren in the First Order, who's able to use supernatural reflexes in combination with the built-in auto thrusters on the TIE Silencer, where you can get some crazy reposition options, which makes Kylo so maneuverable that oftentimes you don't need to worry about having the modification because you're not being shot at. So in order to use the Force effectively right now, these ships have to find ways around the normal conventions of the game, because they're not going to be able to depend on Force talents or even just having enough Force charges to survive.
Right, and we mentioned many times supernatural reflexes as the exception, because the one time where spending that charge in lieu of your normal dice modification is, well, that's fine if you're not getting shot at all. Then it doesn't matter that you don't have modification if nobody's firing any red dice at you. And that's where, you know, a card like Sense sort of surprises me, because you would think, well, if I can see my opponent's dial, then, you know, I can get out of their firing arc. But I think the issue is that that's really best on a low initiative ship. And then you're kind of fighting that uphill battle of you're paying those extra points for the force abilities. But you have a low initiative ship that's really kind of struggles in the current high initiative meta. But it also goes to those, you know, low initiative force users don't have as many force charges. So if they're spending that, you know, one force charge on looking at your opponent's dial, well, then you don't have any left.
Yeah, and I think outside of the example of supernatural reflexes, I think that's one of the key problems that force users have right now, and it's one of the main problems with force upgrades in the game right now, is that you're already paying such a points premium for having that force rating on your pilot. If that pilot doesn't have access to booster barrel roll so they can use supernatural reflexes effectively, they don't really have a great force power option. A lot of the options we see here, even if they're not that expensive, you know, substantially less expensive than supernatural reflexes, a lot of times their application is so specific and the cost of having to spend a force charge to trigger most of these abilities is so high that it's really not even worth it to invest a couple of points into these force power upgrades.
So I think, you know, Fantasy Flight seems to understand this a bit now, that the value of these alternate spending force charge abilities isn't generally that high. And so I'd like to see the points costs of these force powers go down respectively. Although I think with some of the newer force powers, we see them tending toward the right direction of giving us, you know, alternative modification uses for spending these force charges. And I think that hits an exciting area where I'm a bit more optimistic about equipping these force powers.
So I thought a good way we could close this out is, since there's actually not that many force power upgrades, we can just look at each of them individually real quick, see why they stand apart from other upgrades in the game, how they really fall into this category of exceptionalism that we expect to see from force powers, and maybe talk a little bit about what we like about them, what we don't like about them. So I think a good place to start is in ascending point order. So way down at the bottom here, the cheapest force power option we have is Instinctive Aim for 2 points right now.
Right, and this gives you the option, when you perform a special attack, you can spend a force charge to ignore the target lock or focus requirement. This is, of course, great with munitions that require that target lock, because it means you can have low initiative ships, you know, close into munition range. This is great for low initiative force users because it allows you to fire off that munition against higher initiative targets as they move into your munition range.
And this is actually not a bad design right now. It's pretty usable on Luke, but I still think Luke prefers supernatural reflexes if you can afford it. When second edition first launched, this is one of those cards that actually got me excited for what second edition was bringing to the table. It was very thematic and also mechanically interesting. I think this card does a really great job of capturing, you know, Luke doing the Death Star trench run, shooting off the torpedo without using the targeting computer. This really captures that thematically and also mechanically.
Right, and I think if we see those generic Inquisitors go down, or we see a better missile, or they gain access to a torpedo slot, this is definitely a card to revisit. Because it's really those lower initiative force users that I think get a lot of value out of Instinctive Aim.
For just 3 points up, we have the card Heightened Perception. This is one of those other early debut cards that we saw right from the launch of second edition. At the start of the engagement phase, you may spend one force charge. If you do, engage at initiative 7 instead of your standard initiative value.
Right, and this is a pretty cool effect where you can trade your modification for the ability to fire earlier. It's too bad you can't take Heightened Perception and Instinctive Aim.
And again, I think this is an ability that would really benefit a force-using ship at a lower initiative. If you're already pretty high up in the initiative, moving from a 5 to a 7, I don't think is necessarily that going to be that big of a deal, or at least it's not necessarily going to be worth spending a force charge for. You probably want to maintain that for modification. One thing that actually sets Heightened Perception apart is that it is kind of similar to other game effects we've seen. There are a handful of initiative-altering abilities in the game, notably cards like the Han Solo Gunner, who allows you to perform an attack at initiative 7. While this mechanically does the same thing as that card. One thing I find interesting about it is that they thematically represent very different things. Obviously, the Han Solo Gunner is representing Han's eagerness to shoot, Han shooting first, something Star Wars fans are familiar with. Whereas Heightened Perception is showing the quick reflexes of a Force user being able to get their shots out before anyone else is. So while they mechanically do the same thing, they're actually representing thematically something different in the game, which I think is really cool.
I'm on Team Greedo. Got the hate flowing through me.
Well, and that brings us to our next card here. Also for 3 points, the Dark Side Only upgrade card, currently the only one we know about. Hate comes in that First Order conversion kit, and it reads, after you suffer one or more damage, recover that many force charges.
Yeah, and this is a fascinating card, both from a power level and design perspective. We see our first Dark Side Only force power. So that means that the Empire, First Order, Scum, and presumably the Confederation of Independent Systems also has access to hatred. And of course, Rebels can gain access to this with the use of the Maul crew. But it's pretty cool to see them splitting the force powers up. Hopefully with the Republic, we see a light side force power. That'd be really cool. So it's cool to see them open up even more design space, further separate these flavorfully. But then also from a mechanical power level perspective, recovering a force charge is incredibly powerful. We just talked about how, you know, alternate ways to spend force charges are tough because you run out of force charges. Well, alternate ways to get back force charges are great. Even if it's a pretty narrow way to get these force charges back, it's still great to add on that extra value. 3 points, I think this is costed, you know, pretty greatly right now. Yeah, you don't really want to be taking damage, but, you know, when you are taking damage, well, that is definitely when you need those force charges back.
Well, yeah, I think one of the reasons it's so cheap point-wise is because your cost is split between the point cost of the card and between the cost of actually activating the ability. Because like you're saying, getting force charges back is a really powerful mechanic. We've seen it with Luke. It's been one of the more annoying mechanics to play against, Luke having pretty much infinite defensive modification. But in the right circumstance, this card could be very powerful on ships like Kylo Ren. If a ship has a lot of hit points, then there actually is probably a lot of value in being able to get the force charges back. Say, if you get shot first, have to spend some defensively, take a little bit of damage, but get one of those back so you're ready to fire back with another shot.
Right. It's too bad Rey can't take this card because she really needs as many force charges as she can get. Here's to hoping she turns to the dark side in the next movie so that can get her that hate upgrade card she needs.
Next up is another new force power option coming in the First Order conversion. Predictive Shot comes in at 4 points. After you declare an attack, if the defender is in your bullseye, you may spend one force charge. If you do during the rolled defense dice step, the defender cannot roll more defense dice than the number of your hit crit results.
Right, and we talked earlier about, you know, flavorful representation for, you know, just being good at firing down your opponents. Here we see another iteration of that on the Force side. And actually, this card compares pretty interestingly to Predator as well. You know, it also cares about that bullseye firing arc, which is something we traditionally see more of in the Talent side. You know, what makes this still stand out as a Force power is you're getting a pretty unique effect for caring about the bullseye matters.
Yeah, I do think this distinguishes itself from conventional talent upgrades because you're doing something that is, again, kind of breaking the rules of the game, quote unquote, where you're actually limiting the number of die your opponent's rolls. Cards like Predator or Crackshot, even if they modify your dice or modify your opponent's dice, they're working within the normal parameters of how the game works. This one is actually altering game rules. So normally your opponent is going to roll a set number of defense dice depending on their agility, the distance, obstruction. This ignores all those and tells them how many to roll based on an upgrade card you've equipped.
And we've talked about Sense a lot previously. This is currently sitting at 6 points and reads, during the system phase, you may choose one ship at range 0 to 1 and look at its dial. If you spend one force charge, you may choose a ship at range 0 to 3 instead.
Now, this is an interesting force talent, and I'll be intrigued to see if we see more abilities that mirror this in the future. But this is one where you don't necessarily have to spend a force charge to gain the benefit of this ability. You have a default benefit that you can expand by using the force.
Right, and this one's interesting. This is one I don't know if I want to see it go down too much because this is just such a powerful effect. I don't really want it to be commonplace in my X-Wing games. So I kind of like that it's expensive. And then, of course, you have to pay the other price of, you know, including a Force user in your list.
Yeah, honestly, this is a design I don't personally much like in X-Wing 2nd Edition. We had card abilities like this in 1st Edition, and I think they're kind of against the spirit of X-Wing, even if thematically it makes sense. It ties in with Force users and their ability to perceive things. I just don't like the mechanics of it, because if this kind of ability becomes prevalent in X-Wing, it takes away kind of the only secret information you get to have as a player. Because when you play a game of X-Wing, your cards are face up on the table. Your opponent knows what you're bringing. It's really only your strategy and the dials you set that you get to keep secret.
Right. The dials are sacred. I don't like this Force sense messing with that. And then, of course, at the top end, we have Supernatural Reflexes, currently at 12 points. Well and above the most expensive talent, but of course also well and above the most popular talent.
Yeah, this one reads, before you activate, you may spend one force charge to perform a barrel roll or boost action. Then if you performed an action you do not have on your action bar, suffer one damage. Now, this one is interesting. I think it does fall into the criteria for what a force power should be. It provides kind of an exception to the normal game rules. Performing actions before you move is not a typical thing you see here. Normally, you have to put some effort in or put some points in, which you're doing here. It also allows ships to perform actions they don't normally have, which is rare. Obviously, you'd suffer a damage if you do perform a boost or a barrel roll if your ship doesn't have that on their action bar. But that provides some exceptionalism that really emphasizes the skill and talents of the pilot.
Right. Sometimes Vader's got a boost.
But that's honestly, weirdly, not the reason most people use it. Most people use it because this is an ability that combos very well with other abilities. So anyone who's able to link actions off of this preemptive booster barrel roll has a pretty big advantage. We see ships like Kylo Ren and the TIE Silencer use this very well. Kylo Ren being able to preemptively barrel roll or boost, link that into a booster barrel roll, whatever you didn't do, gain the stress token for the red linked action, and then clear that and do the normal actions, which gives you some insane repositioning options without taking away your normal action opportunity.
Right. Incredibly powerful card. You're paying a lot of points for it. It'll be interesting to see if this goes up any further.
And the last one we'll talk about real quick. We don't know the point value for it yet, but we know it's coming with the two new factions. Brilliant Evasion is as of yet unreleased, but we do know it has the ability, while you defend, if you're not in the attacker's bullseye, you may spend one force charge to change two of your focus results to evade results.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this force power. It feels a lot more like a talent, but that's kind of what I like, getting that basic modification for your force users. I think this makes it more of a question whether or not you take supernatural reflexes versus another force power like Brilliant Evasion. And hopefully it's costed on the other end of the spectrum, you know, very cheap. That really gives you some more options in list building. This is, you know, generally useful. You want those modifications on defense.
One thing that does get me excited is even the divide between the first wave of force powers that we saw when 2nd Edition launched versus the ones that have released more recently or will release soon, like Predictive Shot or Hate or the upcoming Brilliant Evasion. I like to see that the abilities for the force power slot are expanding. We're not seeing a lot of repeat effects. We're seeing things that more expand the way this slot can be used, which gets me excited, because if this slot is going to shake out anything like how the talent slot has shaped out over time, this means hopefully we're going to have a lot of options for force pilots in the future so that you can be a little more specific. And really, I'm just hoping we get past the point where Supernatural Reflexes is the dominant card. I would like to see more situational use of the force power slot.
Absolutely. Tim, how many points do you hope this card costs?
I'm going to put it in the category of about 3 points.
Ooh, I'm hoping for 2 or 1.
Well, hopefully we won't have to wait too long to find out. All right, so there's our first design spotlight. This is going to be a series we'll jump back to from time to time. And honestly, we might jump into Force Powers again here within the next year just to kind of catch up. Hopefully we're going to see some new releases in the next several months, and we'll see some new Force talents. It'll be interesting to see how the design of Force talents changes over time.
Absolutely. You know, whole new mechanic, a lot to figure out. But so far, pretty cool mechanics from what we've seen.
Again, a special shout out to our friend Tim Sturm, who suggested this would be our topic for this week. If any of you listeners out there would like to hear us talk about any specific topic on Radio TCX, be sure to reach out to us on social media or send us a message through Patreon. We'd always love to get new ideas, and we do really want to talk about the stuff you guys want to hear.
Absolutely. This is a fun topic.
All right, guys, before we close out, just a quick reminder, Carson and I will both be at the upcoming System Open in Phoenix, Arizona on January 26th.
Yeah, it'll be our first endeavor really into the competitive second edition scene. So hopefully it goes okay.
Yeah, my goal right now is to go, 2-4 or something, at least get a couple wins in there. It should be a fun time, though. I'm excited to jump into some serious X-Wing second edition competitive stuff. Should be a good time. If you guys see us or recognize our voices at the event, be sure to come up and say hi. We'd love to talk to anybody who listens to the podcast. Again, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/Radio TCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast. I've been working on painting up my list for Arizona, so hopefully I'll post the pictures of those soon.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go onto iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening. We really appreciate everyone who's left us a 5-star review on iTunes. And if it's been a while, you can always go on there and update your review to make sure it's up to date and let people know you're still listening to the show.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radiotcx and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us. And thank you to all of our current supporters.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We will talk to you next week after the Arizona System Open. Until then, have a great week.